You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is, when temptation comes, what should we do? Let us learn from Jesus Christ's temptation. Our scripture is Matthew 4, 1 through 11, which states, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showing him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. My text is Matthew 4:1, which states, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The temptations of the Messiah are a devilish attempt to ruin God's plan for human redemption by causing Jesus to fall into sin and disobedience, thus disqualifying him as the sinless Savior. Jesus was led up by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided Jesus in his earthly life, providing a pattern for Jesus' followers to be empowered and led by the Holy Spirit. While God clearly never tempts anyone to do evil, he does use circumstances to test a person's character. Although the devil intends to defeat God's plan and purposes, the Father uses his evil intention for the good purpose of strengthening Jesus in his messianic role. Concerning Christ's temptation, the time when it happened, then, there is an emphasis laid upon that. Immediately after the heavens were opened to him, and the Spirit descended on him, and he was declared to be the Son of God and the Savior of the world, the next news we hear of him is, he is tempted. But then he is best able to wrestle with the temptation. Great privileges and special tokens of divine favor will not secure us from being tempted. Sometimes after great honors are put upon us, we can expect something that is humbling, as Paul was a messenger of Satan. Paul has a messenger of Satan sent to buffer him after he had been in the third heavens. God usually prepares his people for temptation because he calls them to it. He gives strength according to the day, and before a sharp trial, gives more than ordinary comfort. The assurance of our sonship is the best preparatory for its temptation. If the good spirit witness to our adoption, that will furnish us with an answer to all the suggestions of the evil spirit, designed either to make disloyal or disturb us. Then, when he was newly come from a solemn ordinance, when he was baptized, then he was tempted. After we have been admitted into the communion of God, we must expect to be set upon by Satan. The enriched soul must double its guard. When thou hast eaten and art full, then beware. Then, when he began to show himself publicly to Israel, then he was tempted, so as he never had been while he lived in privacy. The devil has a particular spite at useful persons who are not only good, but given to do good, especially at their first setting out. Young ministers must know what to expect and arm accordingly. Jesus' experience of 40 days of fasting in the wilderness corresponds to Israel's experience of 40 years of testing in the wilderness. Jesus endured his testing victoriously and obediently. Moses also fasted and prayed for 40 days and nights on two occasions. Fasting was a means of focusing intensely on prayer. 40 days is about the longest a human can fast without permanent bodily harm. Christ began to be hungry, and therefore the motion seemed very proper to turn stones into bread for his necessary support. If you are the Son of God, if God were thy Father, he would not see thee starve. Excuse me. Jesus, of course, was and is the Son of God, but he refused to be tricked by the devil into using his divine power to make the trial even easier for himself. The great thing Satan aims at in tempting good people is to overthrow their relation to God as a Father, and so to cut off their dependence on him, their duty to him, and their communion with him. The good spirit, as the comforter of the brethren, witnesses that they are the children of God. The evil spirit, as the accuser of the brethren, does all he can to shake that testimony. This temptation was resisted and overcome because Christ refused to comply with it, and he was ready to reply to it. He answered and said, "It is written." This method we must take when at any time we are tempted to sin, resist and repel the temptation with, "It is written." The word of God is the sword of the spirit, the only offensive weapon in all the Christian armory. Let us learn of Christ here to be at God's finding rather than at our own, and not to take any irregular courses for our supply when our wants are ever so pressing. Jehovah Jireh, some way or other, the Lord will provide. It is better to live poorly upon the fruits of God's goodness than live plentifully upon the products of our own sin. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins. While on the cross, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. But after 3 days, he arose from the dead with all powers in his hands. Because he loves us so much, let us be obedient to his word. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day, happy new year to all, and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is God's love. The prison industry in America is big business, and some have called it the new Jim Crow. On a recent prison documentary, one of the inmates stated that she felt love and respect in prison that she never felt at home. She said that her father left home when she was young and that her mother was not around much. She said the pain of not feeling love drove her to the crack pipe, which took away her pain. Please understand that we can all endure a great deal of pain and what we call not fair life experiences when we know who loves us. Everybody wants to be loved. However, sometimes we do not receive the love we desire. Have you ever felt unloved? The pain of not feeling love sometimes drives us to make unwise decisions. Decisions like turning to illegal drugs, alcohol, abusive relationships, or other addictions that may not be in our best interest. However, be encouraged, my beloved, because there is good news. From Genesis to Revelation, from Earth's greatest tragedy to Earth's greatest triumph, the story of humanity's lowest depth and God's highest heights can be couched in the 25 beautiful words of John 3:16, Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse is an alphabet of grace and a table of contents to the Christian hope. In this great verse, we see the highest statement of theology as it portrays God's nature as a God who loves deeply. It portrays the genius of soteriology as it shows how God planned to rescue mankind through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Millions of people read the verse, but only a handful trust it. Some believe it's too good to be true. Many people misunderstand God's attribute of love. God is love. Does not mean that everything is happy and sweet, or that God's love could not possibly allow punishment for sin. God's holiness and divine law demand that all sin be punished. However, God's love provided a plan of redemption and salvation for a lost world. By that plan, Jesus came from heaven to give his life as the final and perfect sacrifice for our sin. God is knocking at the door of your heart. But we must respond. We must believe. We must commit our lives to Jesus Christ and trust him as our Lord and Savior. Do you have an attitude of gratitude for God's love? Will you respond to his call to eternal salvation by faith in him?